all of you for being here this morning. I do want to tell you a little story. Wednesday night, I came from the rest of the summer, so I didn't see too many of you that were here. But I did run into a person who is attending one of the 2 hours. I will not say which one. This person works as a nurse. And she told me that earlier in the week, she had been helping the doctor that she works for do some procedure on a patient. The patient was there, and she was trying to keep the patient calm, so she was talking to the patient in the process of the conversation. Her Sunday school class and some of the things that she experienced there came out, and the patient looked at her and said, "Who is your Sunday school teacher?" And the answer was Bill Myers. At which point, the doctor either dropped his son or sat him down there forcefully and looked at her and said, "Bill Myers? Yeah. The guy that teaches at the University of Richmond? Yeah. Teaches chemistry? Yeah. He fucked my brother." And then he looked at her and said, "Did he get S in that?" I thought that was funny. I didn't. And the spirit of giving gifts. Some of you are here for the first time. But we are ready to study Revelation. We've been for 8 years now, and walking through the Bible a little bit of time. We have one book left. And before starting that, what I said was I wanted to go through a series of 4 weeks to talk about some other things just to get the year started right. So the quiz is, what did we talk about 2 weeks ago? The way God looks at life. The way God looks at life, and therefore the way we should look at life. Well, I use the philosophy of God's gift. What we look at life and time. The way God looks at time and what we should use that time. What are we looking at today? The gift. Spiritual gift. And what was your assignment? The rate of Romans 12 and our training 12. And how many of you did that? I've often wondered if I think it was more assignments or whatever. Give assignments and I sometimes.
But there's no punishment
to God. That's true, there is. So if you will find your Bibles this morning, look around you if there's somebody who doesn't have one share. But if you will find 1 Peter. At near Revelation, it's the first of the little book after, in between Hebrews and James on the front end and Revelation on the back end, it's the first of the little book. And I'm looking at Hebrews, 1 Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4. And I want you to find verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. And the word that's used in this section, the word is grace. And I do not believe it would be wrong if you felt like the substitute with the word gift here for the word grace or graces in here. So I'll use both words because I think they both apply. Each one of you has received a special grace or gift. So like good stewards responsible for all these various gifts of God, gracious God, put it at the service of others. Now, what do we learn about gifts from this short verse? We are setting the background for things I do want to talk about. What do we learn about gifts so far? I'm going to put everyone who's got child or who's pregnant or responded to the call as gift. And you can use the word spiritual gift. We're not talking about talents over it and the overlap. That's the thing. My friend always uses the word dairy down the middle of it. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
walking a tightrope and a bridle that I'm
I have not a clear sense of whether gifts are given to everyone or to Christians. And I understand that opinion varies on that. My own sense is that gifts are given to God's children, and that those gifts are manifested present when they have responded. Now, whether they have gone before, I don't know. We're not talking about what we call talents or other kinds of things like that. We're talking very specifically spiritual gifts. And when you read through my take on what I read, and maybe mine only, is that spiritual gifts, in the sense of what we're trying to talk about today, I think they're given to God's children to enable them to do that. And that's the premise. We have two lessons this morning. This is where we're beginning the first lesson. So that's the premise I'm telling you. If you come from another point of view, and I recognize that there are arguments that can be made otherwise, then, you know, take what I'm saying and mull it over. But my own sense is that this distinction is also this distinction. That there are gifts and talents that people have, but when they fit those people that they're connected to that's the context in which I'm trying to say. So the second thing is that there are a lot different gifts. The verse uses the word varied gifts. Yeah. And there's a special word that they use in my translation. They use that word. It's the word steward. Right. Well, it's certainly a gift, it's not. The gift is given to me for my use under God's leadership. But on loan is an interesting word, but we are stewards.
I never thought of that,
and then you
bounced
that gift away. I love the translation of the monetary term. He took away the talent. As they talked about it, there was a what the implications to that work? Accountability, responsibility. This is not something that's part of the process that we will. This is something that we have responsibility to do. And steward implies that this is not our own. It's still God's gift entrusted to us. And there's responsibility. So I just don't put this more than enough to that word very clearly. Anything else somebody said to be used in service to others? Selfish is not appropriate for certain gifts. Let me point out, just for fun, one other thing. I didn't do this in the first hour, but I feel like I need to do that now. I want you to notice the way the verbs work. And I want you to notice in particular, well, not so much the verbs, but I guess it's the nouns actually. Notice whether it's singular or plural as you go through. Right? Let me read it again and focus only on that. Now, this is an abstraction from the bigger messages we're here, but there's a little one that I think might be worth looking at. Each one. Singular or plural. Has received a special gift or present. Singular. So like good stewards, plural. Responsible for all these various graces or gifts of God. So, yes. Did yours say that? Did you try to flip back to the singular at that point? The heart of lesson one, I think, is in that shift. The heart of lesson one is in that shift. We'll see how this works out later. But just notice, there are lots of different gifts, and we are collectively responsible. So, and all of a sudden, it's sort of like I was coming along, I've
about these kinds of things. And I said, each one of you, I'm supposed to perform like this, has been given gifts. So a good steward, I'm supposed to be in the hands of like this. A good steward of all these varied gifts. Put a gift, and I point to one of you and focus on the gift at that one. See, it's sort of like he goes to the floor and he comes back to the gift. See that? I mean, in that is the heart of what we're trying to do in what I call the fun of it, lesson one. Now, turn from this to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. These are in Paul's letters, Romans, then 1 Corinthians, and that's right after Acts, so if you can find the last two Gospels, the book of Acts, he goes past that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And what I want to do is pick up on the idea of steward, because that's what emphasized here. In this 1 Corinthians 4, the first two verses talk a little bit more about the nature of that stewardship. People should think of us as Christ's servants, stewards, entrusting you. Here he says, and I think that's the mysteries of God. You can almost say, if he was talking about this subject and it emphasized this form, then he would have said these gifts of God. In such a manner, what is expected of steward is what? Who's the subject? I'm sorry. Chapter 4, the first two verses. Chapter 4, the first two verses. Let's start over again. People should think of us as Christ's servants, as stewards, entrusted with the mysteries of God, that the gifts of God be given to the And then verse 2 goes on. In such a matter, what is expected of stewards is what? Expectations. You use the word trustworthy. I'm hearing trustworthy. Any other words there? Okay. I'm sorry, I'm going to say faithful.
Do what the master tells
you. Mm-hmm. And you can almost say responsive, responsible. But this idea of accountability comes back. You don't have to guess too hard what it is. If you've been given a spiritual gift, then the expectation is you're going to use that in a way that's consistent with God's calling and God's direction for the way one is to live. Now, that's sort of the preliminary. The beginning of the lesson itself is in Romans 12. And so if you can find Romans 12, that's the book immediately before the one you were just in if you were in 1 Corinthians. And once again, I want you to watch the transitions that happen here. The first couple of verses, let me say that again, the first couple of verses, Romans 12, say this, I urge you then, brothers, remembering the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, dedicated and acceptable to God. That's the kind of worship for you as sensible people. Now, jump to verse 4, and what you see is that idea of the body. We are to get our own body as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And all of a sudden, verse 4, a different turn is made, and he's talking about body again, but it's not quite the same thing. So go to verse 4. Just as each of us has various parts in one body, and the parts do not all have the same function, in the same way, all of us, though there are so many of us, make up one body in Christ. And as different parts, we are all joined to one another. Now, in the first hour I kept going, and then we got a big one to digest. I saw him at the Discovery Channel. You guys ever look at this television channel? I surfed past that yesterday. He talked about snakes getting ready to eat a bird today. That was an awesome thing to talk about yesterday. Well, let me go ahead and get this up just a little bit. If you ever get a chance to see that, make sure you have an Easter just before you go. In this particular thing, now we're seeing something new here. Many parts making
one body. Now some of you know where this is going. What name is Paul eventually given to that body?
He talks of it as the body of Christ, which we realize and which he connects in other places.
When he says body, we're thinking the body of Christ.
Just as each of us has various parts in one heart, in one body. And the parts do not all have the same function. So what's the next thing we can say? Many parts. Different functions. Did you use a different word than function? Many parts, and the parts do not all have the same function. In the same way, all of us, I really like the way my translation lays this out. All of us, and I'm not sure Paul's having a thought, though there are so many of us, make up one body of Christ. All the different parts are what? In the back. This is the tail end of verse 5. 9 days. Yeah. Did you have another one there? Okay. Members of my mother belong to one another. The reasons that will become obvious, I like that one a little bit better. Okay? Many parts, varied parts, all kinds of different functions, but making one body. And then he goes on to verse 6. Since the gifts we have differ according to the grace that was given to each of us, that's my justification for using grace and gifts interchangeably in that other place. Since the gifts that we have differ according to the grace that was given to each of us, if it's a gift of prophecy, we should prophesy as much as our faith tells us to. If it is a gift of practical service, let us devote ourselves to serving. If it is teaching, to teaching. If it is encouraging, to encouraging. Now, the next point, most people have another gift. My translation puts a pin in there, and I like that. When you give, you should give generously from the heart. That's the only one that, in this particular translator's mind, is universal rather than individual. If you're put in charge, you must be conscientious. If you do works of mercy, let it be because you enjoy doing them. Let your love be without any pretense. And so what you see is a list of some of the things that might happen and encouragement to use those things. Now, at this particular point, I would normally take you to 1 Corinthians 12, but I determined a while back that I was going to take you instead to Ephesians 4, and I find that fascinating. Now, this won't mean nearly as much to you because you guys go to play church. A serious church, or adult church, or whatever. The choir sang a song this morning, and I stole a copy of the music that we sang. Okay. Now, if you reach inside, most pieces of music will have a name at the upper right on the first page and a name at the upper left on the first page. Some of you know a little bit about music. You will know what those two names sing about. Somebody remember the word lyricist we might say if we were talking about Rob Ware or something. And somebody knows the music and composer. The lyricist and composer is the one responsible for the word. Yeah. Over on the side where the music writer is, it says Craig Courtney. And over on the other side where the words are, it says Craig Courtney. But underneath it says, based on Ephesians 4. I didn't know we were going to say this morning. It says, based on Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, and verse 14. Now, we can't start right where they start. We've got to back up a verse or two. But I'd like you to start, not at verse 4, for you to start at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1. Now, when you get to verse 4, that's what we heard in our service this morning as part of our second group, were the words that you'll hear in verse 4 and verse 5 and verse 6 and then later in verse 13. I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you, therefore, to live a life worthy of the vocation to which you are called. Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, and with patience, support each other in love. Verse 3, take every care to preserve the unity of the Spirit by the peace that binds you together. Now, over here we use the word join together. Here he's using the word bind together. Pause for a second. Let's just have some fun with this for a moment. What's the difference between joining something together and binding something together?
You probably
went to chemistry. Yes, but if I can preserve enough time at the end, we're going to go to chemistry.
Well, it's
very
important
when you join something. Anybody work with wood? How do you enjoy the same in wood? You build a joint. Sometimes what you'll do is build a piece of wood that's a little skinnier at one point, a little bigger at another point, and then you build a hole in the other piece that's a little wider at one point, a little narrower at the other. And when you put those two together, you made a joint. If you throw a little glue in there, then everything sort of stays together and works right. What does binding together sound like?
Sometimes.
Some kind of close. The thing I want you to hear is the writers are moving back and forth between these two times. I want to make sure you hear that. They're moving back and forth. If one of those pictures speaks more to you, then, it's okay to use that picture and you're not really violating it. They're not talking about two different things. They're talking about the same thing in two different words. Take care to preserve the unity of the Spirit by the peace that binds you together. And then verse 4. There is one body, one Spirit, just as one hope is the goal of your calling by God. Verse 5. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, over all, through all, and within all. And on each one of us, God's favor has been bestowed in whatever way Christ allotted it. And the very next verse is a quotation from Psalms, and the prominent word is gifts. Do you see that?
When the gifts come,
we've got all these different parts, all these different gifts, right? We've got different gifts, we've got different parts. Who gives the gifts? Who decides who gets the gifts? In the bigger text, they're allotted by Jesus. In other cases, it talks about these are God's gifts. Now, I want to move down for a moment to verse 11. Because by the time you get the word 11, verse 11, the word favor is not used anymore. The word translated favor is not used. The word gift is used. Verse 11. And to some his gift was that they should be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. To knit God's holy people together for the work of service and to build up the body of Christ. Knit together. Build up. God's holy people, knit together. The body of Christ, visible in the conscience. The knitting together makes many into one. And the many that are turned into one are turned into the body of Christ. That's a picture of what's supposed to happen. How are you going to go far? Supposed to say that every once in a while, right? To knit God's holy people together through the work of service to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in faith and knowledge of the Son of God and form the perfect man. That's capitalized in my translation. I think that's another reference to the body of Christ. Fully mature with the fullness of Christ himself. Knit together and built up. for service.
Remember this one?
Your theatre. It's a purpose. It's all built up. It's needed together for service. Verse 14. Then we shall no longer be children, or tossed one way or another, or carried hither and thither by every new gust of teaching at the mercy of all the tricks people put, and their unscrupulousness in deliberate deception. If we live by the truth and in love, we shall grow completely into Christ, who is the head by whom the whole body is knitted and joined together. We will grow into Christ, who is the head, by whom the whole body is fitted and joined together, every joint adding its own strength. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I was hoping somebody would point that out. And some of them, the modifying word that goes with the ligament, I forget what the word is, just supporting. Supporting ligament. I like that term. Supporting ligament. Every joint adding its own strength. For each individual part to work according to its function. Each part working according to its function. And so it is that the body grows until it has built itself up in love. This is the heart of Lesson 1. How did God design His church? How did He plan for it to come together? Well, look, He turned to me with the word joint and the word heart. There's way more that you can do, but just for today, I want you to focus with me on this. What is the heart of the department? What does that say about the difference? That's you, and that's me, and that's you, and that's you, and that's you. The parts are the people. So what are the parts? What are the people? This is the part you may not have thought. What are the joints and what are the... Where the parts come together. So what are the ligaments? What are the ligaments supposed to do? Hold the parts together so that together the parts can do things that they couldn't possibly do individually. Right? Now, what words can we do? My word is relationship. The relationships between God's children are what they're talking about. If we don't build relationships, if we don't build community, we will never, ever function in the way this body is supposed to function. The building of those relationships is one of the most important things you can have. Because with that, the parts can do things that the individual's parts will never do. But in order for them to do that, what does each part have to do? Each part works according to its function. The things that I'm supposed to do, I need to be doing those things. The things you're supposed to do, you're supposed to be doing those things. And when we are connected, when our relationships have been built, when the Spirit has brought us together, just as the Spirit has brought us together with Christ, when He brings us together, then all of a sudden, when I do my part and you do your part, things happen. It couldn't possibly happen if all I was doing was just long range. Or all you was doing was by yourself. So it's the relationship plus the functioning of the parts. But all of a sudden things happen that the parts themselves couldn't have done. Let me take you guys. Go back in your mind's eye with those examples. Early in the book of Genesis. Really early in the book of Genesis. God just created things. And he creates a few things, and he steps back, and he looks, and he judges. And what does he say? This was good. And he makes a few more of it. And he says, this was good too. And he keeps going like that until all of a sudden, something comes, and he says, this is not good. What was that? It is not good that man should be alone. My thinking this morning, last morning, that that's what they're talking about. God meant for men to be alone, for us to be connected by the man, by the band of love with other children of God. And that what happens when that happens is that something is created that becomes the functioning body of Jesus in the world we live. And Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some people do. Why? The heart of community is spending time with each other. The heart of community is learning enough about the other that when something happens, you know about it. How does that so far? That was lesson one. Let me tell you what I wanted to talk about that morning. I want to talk about the time that broke my leg. And they told me that they were going to have to shave off the fractured end of the bones. And I ended up with one leg 4 inches shorter than the other. And I wanted to tell you about how my father said, what happens if you just put them close together? Will it grow back? Not likely. What are the percentages? Less than 25%. Let's try it anymore. It works. What word did they use for those bones? Knitting back together. Making connections at deep levels to bring the functionality back and let things happen that wouldn't happen otherwise. My life would be so different if I hadn't had a little knitting of bones at one time or another. We could talk about living, the connection of one big part to another big part. Maybe there's pictures in there that let us go to other pictures. The connecting of churches, which Travis spent one of his points on this morning, right? How do we work with other bodies, with other pieces of God's body, other pieces of Christ's body? How do we work together? We may be entering a time when that's a little hard to do. Are you starting to get the idea that we're better preaching more than 6 feet closer than what I'm doing? I'm sitting in the car, I start to listen to what he's doing, I look over the man, but the outline that he's got, I'm thinking, well, I couldn't have planned anything better if I'm trying. I wanted to talk about Red Rover. You guys ever play Red Rover? Red Rover come over, you know, if it happens to be a girl you really like, you can actually hold hands with her and you don't go further. Right? Do you remember that? Okay. When I'm talking to my kids about this, I'm talking about the difference between things that are covered up front, think back to your chemistry class, you got all of them heads and words like molecule. What's the word molecule mean? It's a bunch of things that are tightly connected together and are not tightly together, connected to the next little one. And so when you heat up one of those things, when you turn it into liquid, you can boil it without much trouble. You ever talk to my dad over with people who are starting to change the wrist? You got the picture? Starting to change the wrist. There is no end. That body comes this far, and this other body starts up. There's no hand comes together. There's actually ligaments and sinews, cartilage, and all that. And now you break through, what happens? Blood on the ground. Right? We call things that have that kind of thickness polymers. One dimensional of this kind of thing is fibers, like metal. Two dimensional, you get things like mica and graphite. Three dimensional, you get diamond and quartz. What about that, right? About as far as you can get. Well, but they're not connected to anything else. That is strong interaction. That's kind of diamonds out of us, and we're sitting here like molecules. That's my chemistry for today. I wanted to talk about it. You're going to get the idea that the connection, it is not good that man should be alone. I think that ought to be a banner over the rest of the Bible. because I think the rest of the Bible is talking about how do we properly relate to God and how do we properly relate to each other, because the secret of the life God wants us to live is hiding in us. And I think the echoes of that verse are always up to us. But I want to talk about lesson two. So,
another prophet, maybe surely I'm related to the problem I'm having too is that if you've got one part that is different to the work, and another part that you're doing, that relationship will be the back of the
conversation. You know what I'm going to talk about is lesson two. Keep going. That's what we got to talk about for a few minutes. What can go wrong with this picture? What knowledge do we need about how we can see all this but not do it? But what are the things? And you're right. One of them is that one's doing all the work and somebody's not. And I want to come into that. And I've got a 7 or 8 of these things I want to talk about for a minute. One of the keys here is this idea. Do you remember the word that we used along with Stewart? The word right before that, the first time we saw that word, was Christ servants, comma, stewards. That picture of servants, God didn't call us to be important and powerful. He called us to serve. He didn't call us to serve to get power and position. He calls us to serve in an expression of gratitude for all he's done for us. Even Abraham, God says, I'm going to bless you in order that you can be a blessing to the whole world. About half a dozen times at least in Scripture, because you know, you're going to have children, that same promise thing, God's going to bless you so that so, what happens if you have somebody who is a child of God? I'm still going on that same principle here. So if a child of God can have a spiritual gift but doesn't understand how to get to the leaders, what could happen? Well, about 8 things could happen. Here's the first one. Instead of exercising the gift, I might inflict it. I got the gift. I'm the one in charge. I'm going to do it my way. Here we go. And off we go. That's most. That's not a servant mentality. People who don't understand the gift, there's a possibility of misusing them. This is one of the things that can happen. The idea of inflicting. Let me try another one. Remember the sermon on the mount? Remember the Beatitudes? Who did this servant going to inherit the earth?
Me.
What's the word meekness?
Lay down like a carpet, let everybody walk all over you. Is that what it means?
I hope you've been around scripture long enough to know that. For meek means gentle or under control. And the picture, the best picture I know of, is a picture of a horse who has been trained to be controlled by the rider.
Great, great power. The power is discipline, control, and responses to the directions of life. So I'm not saying that you're all supposed to be horses, but just a higher level of this. Gentle, under control, discipline. If you don't have that, you're liable to have that.
Second.
I stole part of this list from Jim Carter.
Second one, we call it rejection. Now, this is the attitude that says, if I can do this, why can't you? If I can do this easily and well, why can't you do this easily and well? And the illustration that he used turned out to be, I thought, powerful. He said, imagine someone with a gift of wisdom who doesn't have love along with it. What's that person liable to conclude? That everybody around him is pretty stupid. As opposed to somebody that functions with love might think love. You know, stop letting me hear some things that maybe they need to hear too. Let's talk about this. A person who lives in my heaven of wisdom to realize they don't necessarily have all wisdom. And sometimes people with my ears are able to listen to
hear your ideas the first time might just give you some suggestions that you can adjust. So that talking with others of God's people about the things that God is sharing with you, that might be one of the most vital things you could do to find healing what God is saying. A projection that says, the problem with projection is it makes you beat up the people, not do things I do or don't do things the way I do, rather than encouraging them to find their gifts and to act on that. And it doesn't say everything needs to be said in the first part. Go to that. Sorry about that. The next one, Jim Burger talks about frustration. Frustration is one that says, I can't do what you do, so I'll do nothing. I can't do what you do, so I'll do nothing. One of the greatest fears I have is right here. I've been a teacher for a long time. My father was a teacher. My brother was a teacher. My uncle was a teacher. We're all teachers. And I've been doing this a long time. I've got some skills there. The most horrible thing would be for you to watch me do and say, I could never do what he does, and therefore I will never do. That would be disastrous and horrible, and it worries me. What kind of law did you teach me? To equip you. Where's my hand on that stuff that I'm talking about right now? Did you hear my talking? And I saw it shamelessly. Take a look at it. My job is not to show you how good a teacher I am. My job is to equip you. To give you an honest space from which, when the time comes for you to teach, you can do this well. And if you turn around and look at what some gifted person does and say, well, because they can do that, I won't do anything in that area, you're missing the whole point of how this is supposed to work. I'll answer questions about that one.
My
study of
teaching is
where it's at. I tell my strong students, if you really want to learn the subject better than you know it now, go find somebody who's struggling and try to teach them. For the first 5 minutes you teach something, you'll know whether you know it or not. And you'll never know anywhere near that clearly what you know than when you try to articulate it to another human being. You sit down and try to explain to somebody something you think you know well, and you turn the road, I don't have the work. I don't know how to do this. That's why I'm sort of fortunate you're sitting in 25 years, 30 years of doing this. It wasn't like this all along, and there's still some better. Now, this is the one for which 1 Corinthians was written. The letter of 1 Corinthians is written to show me this one is called elevation. This is the attitude that says, well, my gift is the one that has it. Yours is unimportant. Can you hear pride sneaking into that? There was a gift. I'm going to make you go back and read 1 Corinthians to figure out what the gift was that you don't already know. But there was a gift that they had chosen to elevate. And it's like people with that gift, well, that was the elite. And if you were not part of the elite, then you were nothing. And you were to be pitied and looked down on by the ones who had this gift. Yeah. And Paul actually comes along a chapter or two later and intentionally says, you know, not only should you not be elevating that gift, but you know, all the gifts are important. But of all the gifts that are out there, the one that is the least important is the one you've chosen to claim the most important. And then you go on with that one. When I elevate my gift, what have I done to your gift? Diminished it, I devalued it, and I broke adultery. Now, until this point, I don't know if you noticed or not. We've been going back and forth. Have you spotted this? This is talking about what somebody does with the gift they have. This is talking about what somebody does when they look at the gift somebody else has. We're back here to a gift that somebody has. This one is rejection. This is another example, just like this. These two go together, supposed to go together. This is another case where you're talking about somebody who is looking at somebody else with gifts. Here's what they say. Maybe you said, well, you know, good for you. I'm glad you got here. but I help. What does the scriptures say about that? What's number one on the list on the wall in front of you? If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, God's with you again. Now, let's talk over that. If you do this, if you say, all right, look, you've got to get, that's good for you, I'm really happy for you, but I don't have this. Then what happens? The gift that you do have, and the gift that you should be exercising in the body, doesn't get exercised, right? Now, go back to the body for a minute. What do you talk, how do you describe a body part that's not functioning? One of the words that's used for that is paralysis. You've got a hand that's not functioning. And Russell commented a few minutes ago, we get into this. You know, somebody does something well, somebody else does well. You go out and do all the work, and all of a sudden, you got the body that ought to be running, hopping along on one foot, or maybe on two toes of one foot, because that's all the parts that are functioning. Our church has had a huge emphasis for the last 5 to 7 years to try to get people to recognize there are spiritual gifts, go through some guidance and workshops to help you find out what your gifts are, what the passions are, to connect to those, and then find places of service where you can plug into this. Number six, we're almost through and I'll try to finish this up.
Envy.
Envy says, yeah, I've got a gift. Compared to yours, it's not much. I should have thought it was yours. Paul came along and told people, you know that gift that they had elevated? He said, not only do you have it backwards, that's really the least important of the gifts that are out there, but the gifts that you are diminishing, those come out of your enjoyment of the ones that sometimes you don't even notice. Did you guys hear Becky's side talk last Sunday? Somebody comes in, takes their time, signs a little Christmas card to an inmate in a prison, and all of a sudden, the echoes and the ripples from that, it's still everywhere. Why? So somebody has the gift of mercy where they just sit down and write a little note to somebody. The important gifts are the gifts that actually carry out of work. Sometimes it's not the question. The last one is the most important one. This is number 7. I won't have time to write it. It's called exclusion. What it says is, good, you got that gift, that job is yours. Can you feel us coming full circle? If I've got the gift, if you have the gift of prayer, what's your job? To help the rest of the barn house for us and to lead us in that effort. If I've got the gift of teaching, what's my job? To equip you, to encourage you, so that when there are times that it's your turn to do some teaching, that you won't shy away from it. If you leave it up to only the people who have the gift to do the work, it will not happen. One of Travis Thomas' books this morning talked about lay ministry. Remember that? The only way lay ministry works is if we have people who don't know what they're doing, encouraged by people who do, until they can become functional. And we have to tolerate people who are learning to grow, and we have to encourage people who are learning to grow, and we have to have the people who have the gifts lead out, and the people who don't have the gifts but still have work to do that involves those things, connecting with them. Can you hear the relationships and the relationships and the relationships? How is the body supposed to go? It is joined together, every part working according to its function, every joint having strength. That word goes. Father, we thank you for the gifts you give us. We thank you more for the opportunities you give us to use the gifts we have and to use the things that maybe we're not gifted in, but that our friends are, and they show us how to do those things too. Help us be responsive to each other. Help us learn how to live in community, because you taught us that's the only way to do it. We live the way we want to live. Always thank you, praise you.